Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time. I thank you for the opportunity to be able to speak to your people. God, I ask that you speak to me as well, Lord God. I ask that you help me to deliver this how you gave it to me, Lord God. God, help me not to hold anything back, but to be a vessel that you work through. I just thank you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So as I was preparing and just really just praying and seeking God on what to share with you all tonight, he reminded me of, with it being the Christmas season, when you're anticipating something, or maybe you have to, you want something. Like my kids, for example, Kayla wanted a phone. So she was saving, and we'd be like, oh, we gotta go to the store, we're gonna get this. She's like, nope, I'm not getting nothing. Why? Because she had a goal in mind. She was saving for that object that she wanted. And when Keith, he had wanted to play some system before, he was saving because he knew if he had some of the money, then we could add to that. So he was saving for it. And God was just reminding me that sometimes on this walk with him, We get a little distracted, but we need to continue to keep that passion, continue to keep that hunger, continue to keep that zeal. When you're saving for something, you're not letting anything distract you from your goal at hand. And so what God said to speak to you tonight is, where is your zeal? Where is your zeal? A lot of times when we first get saved, we're on fire for God. We can't help but to tell someone else about what he's doing. And we're so pumped up. We're so excited. And then sometimes we end up fizzling out. And that's not what God wants us to do. We have to continue to keep that zeal, that passion for God. We have to continue just to stay focused on him. And it may be hard. We may get a little distracted sometimes along the way, but we have to continue to keep that hunger, continue to keep that fire going, continue to keep that burning within us. God reminded me of Michael. When Michael was away at college and he started, you know, just really just digging into God's word, really just getting, just, he got that hunger, that passion. And so when he came to church, man, Michael was just, we could see he was transformed. And God had did something in him. And you could see the Holy Spirit just moving in him because he couldn't help when he started to pray. He just went on praying in tongues. Why? Because he was so hungry and so thirsty for God. And he couldn't help and he didn't care who was around. But we're going to pray. And when we pray, we're going to go in. He wasn't going to just water it down and just step back and say, oh, let's just pray and... No, he said, God, this is what I need you to do. And God, we're asking, we're believing, and he began to pray with authority. So with us keeping that zeal, I began to just look up zeal. And it said eagerness, interest in pursuit of something. What are you interested in? All of us should be interested in having a deeper, a more intimate relationship with God. And when you want to go deeper with God, you're turning off your phone, you're getting off of Facebook, and you're going to set aside time just to focus and just to listen to God. Sometimes you have to disconnect from the world so you can connect with God. I spoke before about what are you plugged into. We have to get plugged into God so we can hear from him. We always say, God, I want you to speak to me. I want you to speak to me. And like Marquise said before, he's speaking, but you're waiting for that one word. And he's saying something else. He's saying, just wait. Or he's saying, I got you. But it's not going to happen like that. And because you don't want to hear that, you're like, God, I know this is the man for me. God, he looked good. He got money. I know this is it. And God said, nope, just wait. Just wait. And a lot of times we get so busy that we're not hearing what we want to hear, that we miss what we need to hear. We miss that. So God, remind me, just, we need to have that zeal. So a few different scriptures of people that had a little bit of zeal for what they believed in. So first one he reminded me of, the first one he reminded me of was Jacob. Because Jacob saw Rachel and he wanted to marry Rachel, he was excited. And when her father told him, I need you to work for me 7 years and then you can have her as your wife, he was like, okay, let's go. Why? Because he had a goal in mind and he was motivated and he was excited. And he said, okay. And so when those 7 years came up, he was ready to get his wife. And so this, the scripture is in Genesis chapter 29, verse 21. Genesis chapter 29, verse 21. It says, Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife, for the days are fulfilled that I may go into her. Basically, let me read out the New Living Translation. He said, finally, the time has come for him to marry her, and I have fulfilled my agreement, Jacob said to Laban. So basically, he said, I did my time. Why? Because he knew what he was supposed to do. We were talking, Marquise talked a few times about what are you focusing on? Shift your focus. And when you see that journey, it looks like a long way, but you have to be focused on that finish point. He was focused on marrying that wife. And so he worked that amount of years. But of course, Laban slipped a little trick on him and gave him the wrong girl, because he said the older one's supposed to marry first. So he married that one. And then he said, man, you tricked me. Basically, I'm paraphrasing. And so then he said, okay, but I still want to marry her, because that's who he had his mindset on. And he said, well, I need you to work for me another 7 years. And you know what? He worked for a week. The daughter gave him the father gave him the daughter, and he still worked those 7 years. Why? Because he knew what he was supposed to do. And he didn't want anything to come against him continuing, or him just saying, okay, we can ride out of here. I got the one I want. No, but he worked because that was their agreement. And he stayed focused. Where's your focus? Turn to someone and ask them, where is your focus? We have to have a zeal. With going into this new year, we have to have a zeal for God. And I don't know about you, when I think of zeal, I think of a passion, a hunger, a thirst. And so God reminded me of the lady who was at the well. And it's in Mark 14, chapter 3. Mark 14, verse 3, sorry. It says, and being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he had sat at his table, a woman came having, this was a different verse, but we will go to this one first. Having an alabaster box or alabaster flask that was very costly of costly oil and sparkled. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. Now reading out the New Living Translation, it says, meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who he had previously had leprosy. While he was sitting at the table eating, a woman came with beautiful alabaster box and expensive perfume and made of the essence of nard. She broke it and opened the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Now, God brought me to this because she didn't care who was around or what was happening. She didn't care the cost of the oil, the perfume, but she knew what she was supposed to do. A lot of times there's a price tag on it. Oh, I can't use that. God will tell us to do something. And God, are you sure you're talking to me? God, are you sure? She might have questioned along the way, but she still fulfilled what he wanted her to do. I was reminded of a story this week of a young lady who God told her to do something. And she's like, okay, I could do it. And she went and she got ready because she said, okay, I'm going to do it. Then God spoke and changed the amount. And because he changed the amount, she said, okay, are you sure? But she did it. A lot of times, God will test us to see where our heart is. And a lot of times we say, well, God, is this really you? Is this really what you want me to do? And we're questioning God. When you're hungry for God and you're thirsty for God, it doesn't matter who's around. It doesn't matter who's watching. You're not putting it on Facebook just so someone can say, look at me, look at what I'm doing. But you're allowing God to be shown through you, through your obedience, through your sacrifice. And you're willing to do what he wants you to do. We have to get to a point where it doesn't matter who's watching. It doesn't matter if no one else is with me, but God, I'm ready to follow you. God, even though maybe my family members are not all saved, or maybe I don't have that many friends, God, I don't care. I'm just going to be alone with you. And God took me through that point when I was in high school, and I said, God, I'm ready to do this for you. And as you know, as you're trying to live right and you're not doing the same thing you used to do, there's some people that will think, oh, so you think you're better than us? Well, we ain't gonna hang out with you anymore. They stop inviting you. And you know what? I didn't care. Why? Because I was so on fire for God and I was so hungry for him. I said, if it's just me and my Bible, that's okay. But also I surrounded myself with other people that are going in the same direction. I said, okay, I'm going to just have to get in church and start getting fed and start being there so I can hear what's going on, so I can be in the word, so I can grow. When you're hungry and thirsty for God, it doesn't matter who's around you or who's watching. God reminded me of when I had started going to church and in the youth group, and I said, okay, God, I'm ready to take a for real stance. And so I'm standing there. I kept seeing people come up to the altar weekend after weekend. And I said, man, that's that same girl. Man, she must be messed up. And God said, where's your heart? He said, you don't know why she's going to the altar. Maybe she had a messed up week. Maybe she slipped, but at least she's going to the altar. And I said, oh, man. And so then soon after that, weeks after that, I noticed I was always wanting to be in his presence and I was always wanting to go to the altar. Why? Because I said, God, less of me, less of my ways, less of my vision, because obviously I'm seeing in the natural and I need to see in the spiritual. God, I want more of you. I was always ready just to go to the altar then because I said, I want that. I want more of you and less of me. So it took me seeing someone and saying, looking with the natural, and God shifting that and helping me to see she's going to get more. What are you doing? You're thinking you got it all together and you're too high and mighty to ask for prayer when you know that you ain't got it all together. And I said, man, okay, God. And I had to step back and had to really pray and say, okay, God, I'm ready. I'm done looking at who's around. I'm done looking at what they got and me wanting to have what they got because that's not for me. But God, I'm ready to have what you have for me. I'm ready to look at what you want me to be looking at. I'm ready to look like what you want me to look like. I'm ready just to give you everything that I have. And that's going to cost me some. But God, it's okay. God, because I want you. We have to get to a point where we say, God, I want you. I don't care if no one else is watching. God, I want you. And I had someone ask me this. They said, well, what happens if you live your whole life and at the end of it, there's no heaven? I said, you know what? I died trying to go to somewhere that I knew would be wonderful. And if there is no heaven, that's okay because it was worth it and I would do it again. They said, really? Yes, because the God I love has changed me so much that there's no way you can make me change my mind. There's no way you can make me want to go back to where I was because I was messed up and could have been dead and gone. If I didn't know him, if my parents didn't know him, if my parents didn't know God, if my mom didn't know God, I probably would be somewhere dead. But because of God coming into our home, and because of me wanting an intimate relationship, not allowing the distractions of the world to get in my point of view, but focusing on God and on what he wants me to do and hearing what he says I am and hearing who he has created me to be, that allowed me to focus. That's what continues to keep me going, because I continue to seek him and say, God, what do you want me to do today? Who do you want me to speak to? What do you want me to say? God, I just want to be a vessel that you work through. Not my way, not what I want to say, because I'm not perfect. God, I'm dying daily and I need you to continue to create in me a clean heart. I need you to continue to change my mind. As those thoughts come in, help me to continue just to shift my focus, shift my mindset. As that doubt and fear and that worry comes, God, help me to change the way I'm thinking. A lot of times Marquise has to check me, because he'll say something. He'll say, okay, we got to pay this, we got to do this. And I'm like, oh my gosh. He's like, babe, don't worry about it. Don't worry. He's quick to say, don't worry about it. God's got it. Or he'll say, don't worry about it. Let me worry about it. And basically, I'm not worrying about it. I'm just going to give it to God. He's going to make a way. And I'm like, okay. And I have to come back. Babe, I'm so sorry. Because I shouldn't be thinking in the flesh and thinking, oh my gosh, okay, what's going to happen? We should do this. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and do that. No, God, you see the problem we have, and we need you to handle every situation. We need you to come through like only you can. Because we don't have the money. We don't have the resources, but God, you're a big God that can handle any situation, and you give favor to your people. So we need you to move. That's the way we should be praying. We have to shift our mindset. And one other scripture God reminded me of is John 4, verse 11. Yes, the woman at the well. John 4, verse 11. It says, the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with. The well is too deep. Where are you going to get that living water? You see, so he was there, the woman was there, and Jesus told the disciples, go ahead and get some food, and I'm going to stay here. And why he knew he was on an assignment, and why he was there, he asked her to get him some water. He like, wait a minute. First, she was like, wait a minute. You shouldn't be talking to me. You're a Jew. You should not be talking to me. And then he said, well, I can give you water where you'll never thirst. And then, you know, she realized, she was like, wait a minute. You don't have nothing to pull with, to get no water. It's too deep for you just to reach down and get some in your hand. And you're giving living water where you'll never be thirsty. Wait a minute. If it was me, I would have said, okay, where can I get this water? Because I need to share it with someone else. When you're zealous for God, you want to share everything that you have with someone else. When you're on fire for God, you can't help but to tell someone about how good he is. You can't help but to share your testimony. You can't help to tell someone how good he is, or share that light to be able to pray for someone. When you're on fire for God, you're not going to let anything stop you from being a vessel that he works through. I'm not saying you have to go around and say you're going to hell and this and that. No, what I'm saying is that when you're on fire for God and you hear God speak clearly, you don't hesitate. You don't shrink back and say, oh, I don't know if that was God telling me to sow that seed. I don't know if that's God telling me to go pray for that person. No, you're okay. Let me go ahead and go pray for that person. Let me go ahead and be a witness, be a light to that person. When you're on fire for God, you don't let anything hold you back. And you don't allow those fear and that and the doubt to set in. You don't allow those spirits of doubt, depression, those things to attach itself to you. Those insecurities to attach itself to you. But you're able to shake free. And to walk in what he's called you, walk in the boldness, walk in the identity he has given you. And you're able to say, okay, I'm going to be zealous for God. And with being zealous for God, that means I'm going to go all out. Not so that people can see me, but so people can see the Jesus in you. When I really just started hungry and thirsting for God and just getting in my word, it was interesting because my preference looked different. My appearance looked totally different. It was interesting because I remember going to church and one of my friends, she was like, man, you're glowing. I was like, I'm glowing. She's like, man, she's like, I could just feel God's spirit all over you. I could see it and I could feel it just in your presence. And we just begin to pray right then and there. Cause she's like, I want whatever you have. And I said, God, I want people to just see you shining through me. Not so they see me, but they ask, what is it that you're doing? and how can I get to know him? When you're zealous for God, it doesn't matter where you are or what's going on, but you just want to be used by him. God reminded me of us. We were on the bus with my youth group, and we were going to, I think it was a youth conference, and we're going to this conference, and God said, just pray. You guys just begin to pray. So we begin to just pray on the bus. And all I know is God said, get up and just start laying hands on people. So we're on like a big, like Greyhound bus. And God said, just begin to just start praying for people. I said, Lord, you want me to do what? He said, just start praying for people. And as I got up to start praying for people, the youth pastor said, be obedient. And I said, okay. And so I'm praying for people and God's laying them out in the spirit. I was like, Lord, what is happening? And he said, I'm moving. I'm filling you guys up because you guys have been hungry. You've been thirsty and you're getting ready to go into war. And I need to fill you up so that when you get there, you're ready to be spilled out. You're ready just to give all that you have. And I said, okay. And as I was obedient and I just continued just to worship, we continued to worship. And when we got there, I remember them saying, oh no, we actually scratched you guys from the program. And we're like, okay. And so we were like, well, we're just going to sit in the sessions. We came all this way. We're going to just partake. And as we were there, someone else came and said, no, we need to have them. We're supposed to have them on this program. And we need to have them up here. So we ministered our song, did praise and worship dance. And God began to move. And he had us pray for other young people that were there. They were like, man, we were hungry and we were thirsty. And seeing you guys being able to use your gifts and talents for God, I'm ready. I'm ready to take that step. I'm ready to be used by him. And we just begin to pray with those young people. And God just began to tear down walls and barriers. But because we prayed and we got in the mode and we got ready for what he wanted us to do. Because we could easily be like, okay, we're done. We're leaving. But we were in tune to what God was saying and we just obeyed. So that we could just be vessels that he worked through. And so today, I'm going to leave you with this quote. Marquise, you're going to have to help me if I do not say it correctly, but I'm going to try and remember because all while I was preparing this message, this quote kept coming up. And I hear it often, but God wanted someone else to hear it today. It says, doing nothing changes nothing, but doing something changes everything. If you're saying, I want to go to the next level in God this year, you need to do something about it. If you're saying, I want to be zealous for God, I want to go to the next level in him, I want to take the limits off, I want to be used more, then you got to do something. That means you got to pray, you got to fast, you got to get on your face, read your word, you got to hunger and thirst for him more and more. You got to take up the urgency more. That means cutting off Facebook, that means getting off of Twitter, that means unplugging from some of the things of the world so you can plug into his word. That means you need to, even if you have to play the word on the way to work, whatever you got to do, begin to do it. Don't let anything stop you from going into 2020 and not even don't just wait for the new year. Begin to start it now because some of us need that feeling. We've been feeling a little empty. We felt a little down and we've been saying, okay, I need that extra push to keep me going. Well, this is your time to get that extra push. You have to want that zeal. So the quote once again says, do nothing changes nothing, but doing something changes everything. And you say, well, how is that? If I do nothing and I just stand here, it's the same thing. But if I go and I pray for someone, that could be all they needed to keep going. The last story I'm going to share, God reminded me of, is there was a young boy who was being bullied at school. And this other young man stepped in and stopped the bullies from messing with them. And they became friends. And as they became friends, they did life together. The rest of it, they did life together. And the guy was graduating college or high school. And I mean, they did the rest of the high school together. And when he was graduating high school, he stood there because he ended up being valedictorian. And he was giving the speech and he stood there and he said, you know, I was bullied one day, and as I was being, he said, I have been bullied so many times, and today I said, this was it. I'm going to go home, and I'm going to kill myself if something doesn't change. And because the young man stepped in and stopped the bullies, he was able to continue to live because he knew that God cared about him. he knew that God still loved him. So if you're going to stay in the same state you're in, don't complain to God. But if you're ready to take that next step, you're ready to get that hunger, that passion, that zeal, you're ready to go all out for God, then you need to step it up and continue to say, okay, God, whatever it takes, God, I'm ready. Because I want that zeal, that passion. I want that like never before. And that's what we should want today. God, I don't want to be the same way I am, but I want to go all out for you. I want to allow you to change me. I want to allow you to refresh. Some of us just need to be refreshed. You need a little bit of more pep because you're excited about God, but you're like, I'm a little scared. I don't know how to minister to that person. To say, God, I'm a vessel and I need you just to speak through me. And like I always say, you just share your encounter with God because they can't debate you on what you experience yourself with God. And some of us have such powerful testimonies and we're afraid to share them. We don't know how to say it, but all it takes is you opening your mouth and saying, God, I need you to speak through me. Let me be the mouthpiece that you speak through. And just open your mouth and just begin to let him know, or let him speak through you and let them know how good he is. Lord God, we thank you so much for this time. We thank you because you're awesome, because you're faithful. God, we ask that you give us a zeal, a hunger, a passion like never before. God, that we'd be excited about serving you. We'd be excited about praising you. God, that you continue just to unite our fire. Continue to stir us up, Lord God. Continue, Lord God, to pour out your spirit like never before, oh God. God, that we will not withhold anything, Lord God. God, but we'll hunger and thirst for your righteousness, oh God. God, that we want to be vessels that you work through, oh God. God, that will press in like never before, oh God. God, that will tap into what you have for us, Lord God. God, that we will not shrink back and be afraid, but God, we be vessels that you work through. God, that we continue to desire to be zealous for you, oh God. To be on fire for you, oh God. To continue just to be used by you, Lord God. God, that we understand that there's no small testimony. But God, it is a testimony in itself, and someone needs to hear that, oh God. God, we ask that you begin to move tonight. God, take us home, but help us never to leave your presence, oh God. God, we ask that you be with us, Lord God. Strengthen us and guide us, Lord God. Help us to continue just to meditate on this word, Lord God, like never before. Like never before, oh God, we just thank you right now.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon. And we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.